You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball on the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball on the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your questions, all of your voicemails. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so make sure to get your voicemails in and your text messages if you want to hear yourself on the show and be a part of the discussion. Matt, welcome back from the weekend. It was a hell of an episode on Friday, and it seems like everybody enjoyed, any one of our listeners out there, whether you've been with us for a week or you've listened to us all the way back since November, it was one of our more interesting episodes, and it turned out that we got nothing but positive vibes from that episode. So shout out to Sia Red Fred, again, our guest. If you didn't listen to it on Friday's episode, go back and listen to it, because it was a great conversation. Got really heated, and it was a back and forth that we don't normally do with a lot of our guests, and we were thankful that Fred was at least willing to do that with us, and it seemed like he had a good time, too. So what's up? How you doing? How was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? It was great. It was really great to hear all the feedback we got from bringing C. Red Fred on the show. There were, a wide variety of people chiming in saying, you know, that episode was awesome. Like, so fun. You know, good for you, Fred, for standing your ground. And then, of course, some people who like to poke fun at Fred. But, you know, and I said this as we were closing the interview. Great respect for Fred for coming on the show, because I think he knew I was gunning for him. And I did. I came in hot, and it escalated quickly. But the thing that Fred articulated so well is that it's all about passion for this team and this organization, and the fact that they've brought us great joy in the past. Those of us who were around for the dynasty years, and we just want to get back to that, and that's why we have such passionate opinions. There was one person on Twitter, I want to say Renee, who's a frequent interactor with us, who says, like, man, like, Matt, it was kind of rude to just invite Fred on the show and immediately attack him and start yelling at him. And my response was, look, that's what Fred does. We bring Fred on the show, we're gonna play Fred's game. What he does is go on the radio and go on various podcasts and on his podcast and yell loud, crazy takes about the Bulls. So when we interview beat writers, obviously it doesn't get that heated and it doesn't get that contentious, because that's not beat writers' jobs. Beat writers' jobs are to provide insight and information and breaking news on the team that they cover on a daily basis. Fred is a fan, much the same way that Jordan and I are fans. We obsess and pay daily by the minute, by the second attention the way maybe some fans don't. But because that is how Fred carries himself on Bulls Twitter or Bulls social media and as a Bulls fan, that is how we conducted that interview. You adapt your interview to the person you're interviewing. And I think because we did that, it was a really entertaining episode.
All of us here, whether you're listening here and you're part of the FireGar Packs hashtag, or you're as optimistic as Fred is in thinking that this team could win in 2020, or if you're somewhere in the middle, wherever you sit and stand, I think this is ultimately the main goal is to get back to the playoffs, get back to championship level team and contend for a long time. We all want that. We just see different visions as far as how that is necessarily going to get done. And so that's why I appreciate it too. And like people that text us or call us, all the listeners out there that you believe is are going to win 40 plus games, like Fred gave you a probably the best backing I've heard since as far as why this team would win 40 plus games. Now I still think that's kind of ridiculous, but we'll see. He might prove both of us wrong. In that fashion too, we've got a couple more announcements here on this show. So first, we want to make sure that everybody that's been listening knows that we're officially a go for the Bobby Portis event. Tickets are live right now, so you can go get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Go ahead there and search Bowling with Bobby and you'll find the event. If you want an even easier way to do it, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. It'll be right there at the top of the page. Be able to buy your tickets directly through Facebook, or it'll redirect you to Eventbrite. If you want to do any of those and you're on Twitter, go on Twitter. It'll be our main post there at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, or at Bulls_Peck. It'll redirect you right to a link where you can buy tickets instantly. VIP tickets and general admission are available. We're really excited, and we're really excited to see all the Bulls fans out there, and not only people just that listen to our show, that Bulls fans in general around this city. So we want to see a strong showing from you guys, and I can tell you one thing, and I know Matt can say the same thing, is Bobby Portis is super excited about this event, and he's ready to go, and he's ready to bowl, and he's ready to meet a bunch of Bulls fans out there who are excited for this season. So we're really excited for this event. Once again, eventbrite.com, Facebook, or Twitter. You can buy your tickets literally right now, so don't wait. Go buy your tickets right now. September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. at Kings in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, and on that note, just a quick shout-out to Kings, Jordan. Kings Dining and Entertainment at 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in the heart of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. It's our Bowling with Bobby headquarters. It should be your football headquarters all season long. 222-foot bar, longest bar in Chicago. No joke, longest bar in the city of Chicago. Full-service restaurant, over 50 HD TVs, not to mention their 16 pristine 10-pin lanes, 4 billiards tables, air hockey, darts, and more. Shout out to Kings. We are really looking forward to working with them for this event. And also, as Jordan mentions in the intro of every show, I also have a radio show on the weekends, the 312 on 1590 WCGO, talking about the entirety of Chicago's five major sports teams. We will be kicking off the event from 2 to 3 with a live broadcast episode of the 312, which Jordan will hop in and join us for, at the venue. Kings will be putting up a remote broadcast station for us there, a live 312 to kick things off. Jordan and Bobby are going to go head-to-head. Bobby's probably going to kick Jordan's ass. And then beyond that, there's going to be a VIP Chalk Talk Q&A with Bobby, as well as an opportunity for some autographs and some photos. And we'll wrap things up with a live recording of our show, Locked On Bulls. So really excited. And thank you all for your patience. Those of you who have been, you know, emailing us and texting us and tweeting at us saying like, oh, my gosh, what's up with the Bobby stuff? It takes a lot to organize an event of this scale, and it has been quite the process. I assure you, Jordan and I have been in constant communication over the last few weeks with Bobby's agency, with the venue, and everything in between, conference calls every day trying to get everything squared away. But we are finally go for launch. Ticket sales are live. So head on over to eventbrite.com, search Bowling with Bobby, or check out our Facebook page.
As Jordan mentioned, tell you how much we thank you guys for listening to this show. Whether you are in the city, whether you're in the surrounding suburbs, whether you're halfway across the United States, a thank you isn't enough. And we would appreciate everybody, and we want to see everybody at this event. And we're not kidding when we're saying, like, Kings is not a regular bowling alley. It is top of the line. Like, if you've never been there, it is insane. The quality, the service, the bowling, everything is going to be fantastic there in Lincoln Park. And there's free food. comes with your general admission. You can bowl for, if you get there at 2 o'clock, you can bowl for 4 hours if you want. It's going to be tons of Bulls related things there. And I can't promise anything, but there may be an appearance or two from other people outside of Bobby Portis. Nothing promised, but you won't know unless you join us at Kings on September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. again, like Matt said. We're going to be doing a live recording of Locked On Bulls, so this will be a lot of fun. For those who won't be able to attend, you'll still be able to hear the audio of Bobby Portis as well. So we're looking forward to this event, and we're super excited, and it seems like Bobby Portis is super excited as well. So invite your friends, invite your family, tell every Bulls fan that you know out there to join us at Kings September 8th, Saturday, September 8th, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
And really, shout out to our listeners. You guys are part of the reason that, we were able to make this happen.
Absolutely.
Because not only did all of this start from a running joke on our show, and then Jordan starting to talk a little bit of trash about being able to beat Bobby, some of our listeners started tweeting at Jordan and Bobby about how we needed to make this happen. And Bobby's initial response to us of just saying, hey, anytime, anywhere, is what led us to eventually managing to get in contact with his agency, and his agency not laughing in our face when we brought this idea to them, because they were made aware that Bobby wanted to do this and was really excited about it. So that couldn't have happened without without all of our listeners. We really appreciate that. And we were able to back up the legitimacy of the following of this show as we continued that conversation with the agency, with the venue, with everyone involved. And we have our listeners, all y'all out there, to thank for that, because it's not like it was just like some random guy saying, hey, we talked to Bobby on Twitter and he wants to bowl with us. Like, we have such a strong backing and support group from our social media interactors and our listeners, and that has helped tremendously as we have tried to legitimize ourselves and make this event happen. So again, thank you guys so much.
Super excited. Once again, eventbrite.com, search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls. You'll be able to see our event right there. That's where we'll be able to buy tickets. Once again, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you need to go, you'll be able to one-stop shop, easy click of the link, and you'll be able to buy it right there on your phone. So super easy. So head out there, Bowling with Bobby Portis, September 8th, Saturday, September 8th, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Kings and Dining and Entertainment. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're getting to basketball. We're getting to stuff this week. We're excited. NBA seems like they're trying to introduce a couple new rules. Matt and I will break down each one of those rules in the next segment. Talk about what might have an impact and what might not have an impact, and maybe a few rules that we'd like to see getting put in place over the next couple of years. All that and so much more here on Locked On Bulls. Stay right here with us. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck, Jordan Malley hanging out with you on a Monday. Apologies for getting today's episode out a little bit later than usual. We had some scheduling conflicts going on in the morning, but better late than never, as they say. Before we jump into our next topic of those NBA rule changes, just wanted to give a quick shout out to the newest and most exciting part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is crunch time for fantasy football. I don't know about you, Jordan. I just did my first draft over the weekend. I have another draft tomorrow. I got another draft on Friday. Crunch time for real for those of you who play fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantages for your fantasy season. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you that extra edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your fantasy football league. You play fantasy football, Jordan?
Absolutely. I had two drafts yesterday.
Two in one day. Woo.
Two in one day.
That's stressful, man.
One day, one of the drafts was a five-year keeper league. 14 man too, so it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting. You have to be pretty up to date with your fantasy football players if you got to go that deep. So definitely check out the fantasy football podcast here on Locked On, on the Locked On Podcast Network.
If it's a keeper league, I'm guessing that you definitely took Mitch Trubisky, right? the next breakout star quarterback of the National Football League.
Not when you have Deshaun Watson in the 13th round as your keeper this year.
Okay,
so absolutely,
yeah, that's
not.
That's probably a better option. No offense to Mitch. Shout out to Locked On Bears. Go check them out.
So, a couple basketball things we want to do today on today's show real quick. Obviously, the rules changes expected to pass came out late last week, and we wanted to just touch on these real quick because there's three rules. One in particular, I think, that's going to see the most significant change as far as gameplay goes. Three rules that they're proposing to get passed. Obviously, needs two-thirds of the votes from the NBA's governor board, so two-thirds of the vote in order for these to actually pass and be implemented in 2018-2019. Matt, the first rule here, and we'll just go through all three of them really quickly. The first rule is changing the shot clock on an offensive rebound. Instead of it going to 24 seconds, it's going to reset to 14 seconds. And the NBA has noted that they've done significant research and studies of the FIBA, who implemented this rule in 2014, as well as the G League, the WNBA, and NBA Summer League games have all been doing this for quite a few years now. So looking at that and trying to implement it into the NBA, I don't know about you, but I love this idea. Just the idea that when you get an offensive rebound, it doesn't completely reset, and you got teams setting up again, and those teams that kind of boring, not running fast-paced offenses are going to reset it at the half-court offense. This allows the NBA to put up more shots, have more scoring, and to me, I see no complaints with it. Do you see any problems with this going from 24 to 14?
Absolutely not, Jordan. I love it, and I love it for one particular reason, and that is this. I think it's going to result in a lot more exciting, close finishes. Because if you think about NBA games and sort of the way that fourth quarters play out, if it is a game where it's been either back and forth or one team is kind of hanging around and is maybe down by a couple of possessions, and there, once you get to that 4 or 5 minute mark of the fourth quarter, and it's so imperative for the team trailing by a couple of possessions to get those stops, to me, it's really annoying that a team, and kudos to teams that are the better offensive rebounding teams and the better offensive rebounding players in this league, because that can be a very huge advantage. We've seen the Bulls be one of the better offensive rebounding teams and one of the worst offensive rebounding teams in the span of just the last, you know, handful of seasons. To me, it's just it's going to result in a lot more exciting close finishes, because say a team that is protecting a 1 or 2 possession lead puts up a shot, bricks it, gets the offensive rebound. 99 times out of 100, unless the person who gets the offensive rebound is J.R. Smith, what you're going to do is pull the ball out and use all 24 seconds of that extra shot clock. This eliminates that, brings it back down, and allows the team trailing by a couple of possessions to keep themselves in that game, because you're saving yourself 10 seconds at the, you know, at the maximum. But at the very worst, it's not like you drain almost an entire half a minute off the clock when really you need to get a stop and you need to go score a bucket on the other end. That's why I think this is a great idea.
I think they've said they've done a ton of research between those four leagues, and seeing it in the summer league a little bit this year, it wasn't that noticeable. So I think people that might be up in arms, and I can't see any NBA fan that likes modern NBA is going to say, well, this sucks. I hate that there's 10 seconds cut off of the shot clock. I think I'm with you too. It doesn't lengthen the games at the end either, you know, where you got a team up 9 and you're hacking away and hacking away and hacking away. It's kind of gone away from that in the NBA. It's more so a problem in college still. But still, I think you're right there too. Like 14 seconds instead of 24, that extra 10 seconds in the last 2 minutes of a game is going to be super important. So I think it's going to be a lot more fun for the fans. And I think the players will probably enjoy it, especially if you're one of those teams that you're constantly going and you're within 5 or 7 points, where the Bulls could be in a lot of those games in the fourth quarter this year. So I think it's going to benefit not only offensive teams in the NBA, but I think it's going to benefit everybody as a whole. And now I'm curious to look at college and say, all right, well, if the NBA is going to implement this rule, what does college do with their shot clock? Their shot clock's still at 30 seconds.
Yeah, which is so absurd.
It really
which
is.
Sure. They should adapt it and put it back down at 24.
So like, we'll see if they go to 24. I mean, it used to be at, what, 35? 35 seconds, and they cut it off mm-hmm. to 30? So
yeah,
we'll see.
And college basketball is just painstakingly slow.
Oh, I know. Especially at the end of those games. So we'll see. That rule, I think we're both in agreement that that's a definitely should have happened sooner. Not going to be a major player, maybe down in the stretch last 2 minutes, but something that I think is going to help increase the speed of the NBA, and the more buckets scored, the more people are going to pay attention. A couple other rules, two others that I thought, one being a little bit more important, the other was, it's all right. under the change of the clear path, so clear path fouls were one of the other big topics. It said under the changes to the clear path rule, a clear path to the basket would be in play in these three instances. A personal foul is committed on any offensive player during his team's transition scoring opportunity. When the foul occurs, the ball is ahead of the tip of the circle in the backcourt. No defensive player is ahead of the offensive player with the scoring opportunity that the offensive player is in control of the ball or a pass to him has been released. This is the biggest part of the rule, I think, that definitely needed to be changed in the NBA, is guys who are going up have a fast break where you see this happen all the time. I feel like even to James Harden, guys on the Warriors, where you're on a fast break, you've got to pass up and somebody fouls, and then it's a take it out on the side rather than getting two free throws. So they're going to try and eliminate that, and the punishment is two free throws at the line and you get the possession back on clear path fouls. So I like this idea. I know it might slow things a little bit down. It might press some teams that aren't very good defensively or can't stop balls in transition. But to me, as a fan, I would rather see just the fast break happen than a guy be able to hack at the midcourt and then it goes to the sideline out of bounds. I think it's just another way to speed up the game. How do you feel about the clear path foul and now with it being a little bit more clear and concise?
Yeah, I think I'm with you in the sense that I'm for it if it just adds clarity. Because it's not quite as frustrating as being a football fan watching on Sundays saying, okay, what the hell is a catch in the NFL? Nobody knows. They try to adjust the wording and the ruling of what constitutes a catch, and it depends if it's a guy, you know, catching and going out of bounds or catching and going to the ground or catching and continuing his running motion. There are like 18,000 different rules for one rule, which is simply just like, it's an eye test, right? What is a catch and what is not a catch? That guy caught the ball. That guy didn't catch the ball. That, I think, is the most maddening confusion rule in sports right now. But behind that, and a little far ways behind that, but still very frustrating to me, is the lack of clarity with the clear path foul in the NBA. Because so many times last season, watching what was going to be a fast break, breakaway, easy bucket for, you know, either a one-on-none or a two-on-one, you know, somebody hacks somebody making a steal and going the other way, and for some reason it wasn't a clear path foul. I'm sitting there saying, okay, what the heck? Well, then what is the clear path foul? Why is it in place if you're not going to use it? I get the worry about slowing down the game because, you know, sometimes even last season they would go to the replay to determine whether or not it was or was not a clear path foul, and I don't like that element of it. But, I mean, for goodness sake, can we just figure out what that element of the NBA rules are and just get it right? Because I feel like a lot of times watching NBA games last season, they got it wrong.
NBA's explanation and the reason why they're going to this, and I think it's a good explanation, it helps the referees mm-hmm. call a better game. And there was one other part of this that we left out as well. It says the defensive foul deprives the offensive team of a transition scoring opportunity. So this is huge. So you say they're on a fast break. Say Lauri Markkanen grabs the rebound and Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Jabari Parker are already halfway down court and Lauri tries to make a pass. He makes a turn for a pass and a guy immediately follows him. They're going to get two free throws and the ball back. So I like that play too. Not only just, you know, transitioning into a fast break or a two-on-one or three-on-one, it also starts at the turn of the possession when it goes from the offense to the defensive team's ball and they're trying to transition down the court. So I like that change. And the other thing too is the argument for this rule is it no longer is needed by referees to make a judgment call on whether a defender was between, quote unquote, between the offensive player in the basket, or if a defender is ahead of a player being fouled, but not between the offensive player. See, it's all this like mumbo jumbo in their language that kind of is sitting in a gray area. And I think the NBA has kind of eliminated that, not only for the fans, but also tried to ease the judgment calling for the referees. They've already got a ton of stuff to go judgment calling on, so this is a little bit more clear for them. The last and final one I don't think is too big of a rule, but this is one that they're going to try and implement. It says the expanded definition of the hostile act, quote-unquote hostile act, to trigger instant replay would now extend beyond interaction with another player to also include a hostile interaction with a referee, coach, or fan. So we've had a couple of instances this year, last season actually, that have happened and they haven't been able to go to replay to look at it. It's only between player and player. I like this rule just because it helps with the safety of the game. And if the referees need to go to the instant replay to figure out whether a guy should be ejected or not, they should be able to do that at any cost. So that's kind of just adding it to the rules as they lie right now. So those are kind of special circumstances, in my opinion, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have really any strong opinion on that one. If it's it seems like just for the sake and clarity of both players, not only player safety, but safety of everyone on the court and around the court, and just sort of expanding upon a rule that was already in place to, again, provide some clarity and the explanation of which parties may or may not be involved for them to go to a review in a situation like that. Pretty cut and dry. I don't really have a strong opinion about it. As long as it is not something that they go to too often. Once again, going back to how many reviews do we need and how will they hold up the game?
All right, before we get out of here, a couple other quick notes, a couple other Bulls quick notes. First, more on the lighter side, is on Twitter. This seafood company, which I think it's Joe's Seafood on Twitter. Jimmy's Seafood.
Shout out to Jimmy's Famous Seafood. In their Twitter bio, they describe themselves as Maryland's authority on crab cakes and steamed crabs, as seen on both the Food Network and Travel Channel. We ship nationwide. So, yeah, apparently a Bulls fan was tweeting at them, wanting them to put up a location in Chicago somewhere. And they said, we will if you get MJ to come back. And then this person on Bulls or on Chicago, this Chicagoan on Twitter said, well, MJ's old and he's fat. How about, you know, we're just excited about Zach LaVine. And Jimmy Seafood said, if you give us the $78 million that you wasted on Zach LaVine, we'll give you free crab cakes for life. Zach LaVine chimes in. Somebody must have tipped him off to this exchange going on. And Zach LaVine said, like, whatever, I'm allergic to shellfish anyway. And then Jimmy's Famous Seafood, whoever's running their Twitter account, responded with ... and defense.
Unbelievable. Hey, this can backfire at times, but it's, hey, I guess if people are talking about you, any press is good press. In this instance, probably not for Zach LaVine, but for the seafood company, yes, maybe. But yeah, that was one interaction that was kind of blowing up on Twitter. Something else that I saw too, real quick. So you know the basketball court that Nike took over in the vacant church on the west side in Chicago. Did you hear about this story?
Yeah.
So the Church of Epiphany on the 200 block of South Ashland Avenue on the west side, Nike took it over. So earlier this year, they were looking to transition it into something cool, and now it's called the Just Do It headquarters at the church, and it's open to the public throughout August. You can go visit it on Saturdays. It's unbelievable. If you haven't seen the pictures already, I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter, on Facebook too, have already seen these, but Google it. Google Just Do It HQ at the church or Nike Church Chicago, and you'll be able to see the pictures. They're unbelievable. So why I'm bringing this up, because Lauri Markkanen visited this not too long ago and took some pictures while he was in Chicago at visiting there and also doing some drills and some workouts. And I've got two things. First, the church is absolutely sick, and anybody who can check that out on Saturdays, you have to just register, but it's totally cool, totally inventive, and just something that Nike totally would be able to do and turn it into something so cool for a church that was abandoned too on the south side. So I saw that, really loved that. That was the beginning of August, and now I see Lauri Markkanen. Holy crap, man. Like, we were talking about how built he was early on in this summer.
Juiced.
It is unbelievable. Like, go look at the pictures of Lauri Markkanen over the last 2 weeks. Like, you're talking about being on the Giannis diet, talking about the Anthony Davis transformation here, and seeing Lauri Markkanen from year one to year two now, not even in the first to second season. It's incredible. The pictures are incredible, so I hope it transitions to on the court. But both of those things were my favorites.
You know what that means? You know what that means, Jordan? You know, they're just going to say, ah, screw it. We're going to start marketing at the five so we can start Jabari at the four.
Oh, well, that would not be good news for Carter or for Bobby Portis. And or for Robin Lopez either, but more importantly for Bobby Portis and for Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, no, it does. It looks awesome. We already saw earlier this offseason when he was playing some games with the Finnish national team that he looked like he had bulked up a little bit. But those photos from those workout sessions you were just talking about look like he's jacked up even a little bit more. And really, you can start to see that frame being filled out compared to certainly what he looked like playing his year, his lone season at Arizona, and then even earlier on at the beginning stages of his rookie season. So, gotta love that. As long as he doesn't lose any of that elite athleticism, a 7-footer who can, you know, do 360 windmill dunks and between the legs dunks and all that great stuff. Yeah, absolutely add some muscle to that frame.
To lead you out of the show, our friend over at Locked On Pistons, Matt Shook, he got an interview this weekend with recently signed Derek Walton Jr., former Michigan University basketball player, standout player, drove them all the way to the Final Four. He had some quotes, too, from Kay Felder's basketball camp, just talking about the opportunity that he's going to have with the Bulls this season and what it's like to give back. So former former Bulls player, short time, Kay Felder, hosting the basketball camp this weekend. Got about 3 or 4 minutes with Derek Walton, so just wanted to leave that with you guys as we kind of end the show today. So here's that audio right now.
Here with Derek Walton of the Chicago Bulls, here helping out at Kay Felder's annual basketball camp. What was it like today, giving back in the city that you grew up in and being able to help out and show, you know, some of your skills and so give some advice to some of the kids, too?
It's always a good thing to be able to give back, and that's all it's really about for us. Like, just be able to give back is always a great feeling, but overall, to see the smiles on these kids' faces is always priceless.
Mm-hmm. And you were with the Miami Heat last year. What was your first year in the league like? What were some of the things that you picked up, and what were some things you're looking forward to and going to use going forward in your NBA career?
Just a lot of learning how to be a professional, how to carry myself, how to work and all that. But you know, going forward, just expect to continue to get better, grow, pretty much it.
What was it like watching your former teammates go to the national championship game in Michigan, catching that ride that they had after the magical run you guys had at your last year, going to the big, winning the Big Ten championship, making a run yourselves? What was it like watching those guys get to the final game?
It's a blessing, man. Just, that type of stuff don't happen to everybody. It's extremely hard to get there, and you know, a lot of stuff had to go right. So to be able to know those guys personally, knowing how they, you know, how hard they worked, was it paid off for them. So it's always. It was always great to see. It's always great to see a team, obviously alumni, do well, but we got a personal relationship with those dudes. It's 10 times more special.
What do you think about John Beilein and the team going forward this coming year?
I really haven't, you know, seen a lot of them, but I know what he does, and I know that, you know, when the ball is tipped off and it's time to play, they'll be more than ready, and you know, I expect big things out of them. It's a part of the culture there, so it's always expected for us to be above average.
What do you like about your opportunity coming up with Chicago? Some things that you like about the organization and the way that you kind of fit in with that group?
All you need is really an opportunity. I know this opportunity is probably one of the best I can, you know, ask for. And just looking forward to, you know, cementing myself as a player in the NBA. Just the opportunity is there, and I think the young core that we have and the front office that we have, they're moving in the right direction. So it's a lot of positives, not too many negatives going around. And so I'm excited, and I'm just ready to get going.
What's kind of your next few weeks like before training camp starts? What kind of things are you going to be doing?
Just working out. Whenever I get a chance, you know, kick up a little bit, but more so working than anything.
When you're in summer here at home, what kind of things do you do other than working out? Are there some things that you got to do when you're back home in the off season?
Not too many responsibilities. So just make sure I take care of my family, make sure they're always taken care of. My summer is really based on getting in shape and at times get away from the game as much as possible. But my summers are really simple for the most part, working out and being with my family.
Mm-hmm. And we talked to Kay a little while ago. He said you guys played together a lot, quite a bit growing up. What was kind of the background of you guys as teammates and opponents growing up the area?
We played together like we were little, like real little, 7 and 8 years old. And then our dads played against each other in high school, and our moms are close. So it's like our families is always bumped into each other. And we just got to, you know, we just two inner city kids that's being able to live out our dreams. So it's always good to be able to share experiences. And I look at them as like family. So we always, whenever you got something going on, I show up. And likewise with me. So like you got a backpack giving up, giveaway coming up, I'm going to that. It's just all about, you know, showing the kids in front of us that, you know, you can make it out of here. You can. And it's a possibility. It's more than a possibility. You just got to stay hard, stay working hard, and being positive.
Derek Walton, former star, University of Michigan, now the Chicago Bulls. Thanks for your time here on the podcast.
Oh, man, appreciate you. Thank you.
Once again, that was our Locked On teammate, Matt Shook, host of Locked On Pistons, which if you want to get the scoop on what some of the Bulls' Central Division rivals are up to this offseason, check out Locked On Pistons, as well as the Cavs and Pacers and all of our Central Division opponents. Check out their Locked On coverage. Again, thanks to Matt Shook for getting us that audio of Derek Walton. And I think that's going to about do it, right, Jordan?
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Get your tickets to Bowling with Bobby Portis, September 8th at King's Dining and Entertainment. Anywhere you want to get the tickets, Twitter, Facebook, Eventbrite.com, easy one-click solution there. Buy your tickets today. They're going to go quick. Again, Saturday, September 8th, Bowling with Bobby Portis. We want to see you guys there, so go get your tickets right now. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Get your voicemails in, get your text messages in. We want to hear from you, Bulls fans. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so get those questions in before Wednesday. We want to hear from you, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.